From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beats California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator's fault. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down on the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
All right, let me go ahead and get this out of my system right away this morning. 42 days, 8 hours, 32 minutes, and wait for it, 43 seconds away from the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on that first Saturday in May. And we welcome you this morning to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your official home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown, and we are happy to have you with us on this 25th day of March 2017, and looking forward to another rock-solid program here for you this morning over the next 2 hours, going to be loaded with special guests, talking not only about some of the Derby prep races that are on the docket for this afternoon across the United States and internationally, but also about that Dubai World Cup program, and of course a little horse that you might have heard about by the name of Arrogate going to the post in the $10 million Dubai World Cup later on today. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. And JT, well, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. This is a day that I look forward to for every year in between.
Love the Dubai races.
I do. I think they're awesome. I love the world stage. I love the fact that a lot of people from the United States participate, and looking forward to a great card today.
Looking forward to seeing Arrogate. I mean, everybody is. I know that's kind of Captain Obvious type of statement. Looking forward to Arrogate. Looking forward to horses like Gunrunner taking him on. Gunrunner hasn't been talked about a lot, at least in much of the social media that I've seen and much of the things that I've read about the Dubai World Cup. Haven't seen a lot of talk about Gunrunner. He might be flying under the radar a little bit. Opportunity is also in the Dubai World Cup. And then you got a horse by the name of Lonnie, who people will be familiar with. Somewhat of a mystery horse again this year.
Yeah, Lonnie. Good old Lonnie. He gets more ink for a horse that's slow than any horse I've ever seen in my life. I mean, maybe since Zippy Chippy. Now, he's a better horse than Zippy Chippy, but really, I mean, he hasn't been in great form. I don't know. He's just a horse that people like for some reason, and that's cool. I mean, it's great that he has fans and followers. I don't know about the Lonnie's thing.
You also have a Kentucky Derby prep race in the desert today at Maidan. You have the UAE Derby, a win and you're in for the Kentucky Derby, because the winner will get 100 points. It's the first 100 points race in that point series for the Kentucky Derby. 100 to the winner, 40 for second, 20 for third, and 10 for fourth. Here in the United States, just about an hour north of where we sit from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, you have the Spiral Stakes at Turfway worth 50 points to the winner, and the Sunland Derby out in New Mexico, 50 points to the winner. So three opportunities for a horse to win their way into the starting gate on the first Saturday in May coming up here today. Well, you've heard me mention a couple of times that we are in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, and speaking of Jimmy Johns, our good friend Billy White, one of the owners of the Jimmy Johns franchises here in the Lexington area, sitting in as a special guest co-host with us this morning. White Shoes, what's up, brother?
Good morning, ladies. Thanks for having me. It's that good time of year. The Triple Crown prep races are in full swing, and Keeneland's opening up in a couple weeks.
I know. How about that?
I have to say, I do enjoy watching the races in Dubai, but I hate not being able to wager on the action, so the purse money is unbelievable for the owners, but I got to put a couple bucks down. So well, it's hard to do. You can't hear. Not you there, though, right?
Yeah, not there.
I've
yeah.
never been over to Dubai. I think I'll be out to the Thoroughbred Club in the morning today to make a few bets in a few minutes.
A few shekels, as they like to say.
They do call me 50 shekels up in Chicago. You've heard of 50 cent on the other side. I'm the poor version of 50 cent, 50 shekels. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great, looking forward. Great to be here. Going to be a lot of fun.
Great time of year.
We are going to cover so much ground over the next 2 hours. In just a few minutes after our first commercial break, Bob Kiekeffer, who is the racing writer, UPI racing writer, is going to be with us live from Dubai. He'll give us an update on what's happening on this Dubai World Cup program. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream going to join us a bit earlier in the program today than normal. He'll join us around 8:35 Eastern time. Mike Battaglia, longtime track announcer here in Kentucky, especially at Turfway Park. Mike is going to come on, and he's going to talk about the Spiral Stakes and maybe share some of his memories of the spirals that he has been part of in the announcer's booth in the past. And so many great stories coming from Mike, no doubt. You can hear him at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Then at 9:25 Eastern, going to be joined by a very special guest, JT, somebody who wrote an email to you last week, and I said, we got to have this guy on the show.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I believe it was the call-in show that he called in and asked about breeding his mares. He asked me to help him out a little bit, and I said, well, you know, I'll send me a direct message on Twitter, and we'll talk, and I'll do some research for you. And I suggested that he breed one of his mares to Johar, and he did. And the filly won the other day, and he was pretty ecstatic and sent me a note, a follow-up to it, which was really nice of him to do. Evidently, I had said, keep me posted on what goes on. I didn't even know that he took my advice. You know, people ask for advice, and most people don't take it.
There's a first time for everything Jude.
even my wife doesn't take my advice. No. So, you know, it's great, and it was really fun to talk to him, and I thought he would be a good guest, kind of a human interest story, really.
Well, and really what this sport is all about. This sport is built, as we always say, on hopes and dreams. And here is a person, his name is Aaron Reed, by the way, hails from Indiana, and he had a dream. He had a mare, he was thinking about bringing it to a specific stallion, took your advice to go to Johar, and all of a sudden the result is a winning effort from the filly. We've just ruined the whole story for everybody, by the
not,
way.
Not really. He's a cool guy. I talked to him the other day. I called him. It was interesting because he kept the whole thread of our conversation. So I got to see everything that went before, you know, he got to that point. I said, I can't believe you still had that thread. Well, I clean my inbox out all the time, unlike some people, I guess. But, you know, he still had it. And it was really cool to see the whole history of it unfold. You know,
White Shoes knows a thing or two about being involved with racehorses and getting lucky every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. As our managing partner used to say, you know, you have to cry when you lose, act like you like it. And when you win, act like you have been there before. But I cried when they lost. I cried when they won. I don't know.
You're just a weeper.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Hey, $15,000 claiming race at Hawthorne or a stake race at Keeneland. Which was just few and far between. But yeah, and by the way, those stories, you never ruin a story. Those stories can be told over and over and over again. I've been telling the same ones for years, as you well know. So it's a great game and a thrill when something like that, when you actually breed the runner and you get the victory, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that part
always
of the show.
Cool.
Aaron Reed will be with us then at 9:25 Eastern, and then at the end of the show, we'll go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway. That final 15 minutes, we will take a look at some of the big races, including the Dubai World Cup, which, of course, is not necessarily a Kentucky Derby prep race, but then we'll take a look at the Spiral and maybe the Sunland Derby and glance at the UAE Derby as well, if we get a moment to do that as we go down that road to the first Saturday in May. We'll get to a break. When we come back, we're going to head to the desert, check in with Bob Kiekeffer, who joins us from Dubai. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Macho Uno is off to a flying start in 2017. Currently the leading sire in North America with 3 black type winners already.
A thrilling finish in the Sunshine Millions Classic. Here's the wire. It's too close to call. Nauset Beach had the lead, but the Bob went to High Riverside. Inside the final furlong, Tommy Macho and Luis Saez. Macho indeed, they're much the best. They won it by 5 in the end.
In addition, Macho Uno was recently represented by Starship Tribbles, an easy maiden special weight winner in Florida, drawing off to win by 6 1/4 lengths. Small Bear, a 3-year-old winner of an allowance race at Parks, the second consecutive win for Small Bear, who is owned by Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. And the promising 3-year-old Billy Treble, a winner of a maiden special weight in her debut for trainer Ron Moquette. And Macho Uno's 16 stakes winners from 2016 include new multimillionaire Dannon Legend. Macho Uno, standing at Edina Springs.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org. Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-54.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is Jackie Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Silver Charm goes for gold. It's Silver Charm from Lucivage from France on the far side. Barron's back in third. Malik is in fourth. And it's Lucivage on the far side. He's beaten at the moment. It's Lucivage. Silver Charm. Malik in third. On the outside, it's Swain. But it's Lucivage. But Silver Charm comes again. This is incredible. Swain is flying. Swain might beat the favorite. What a finishing prospect. Silver Charm and Swain. It's a photo. It's a great photo finish to the Dubai World Cup. Who's won it? Silver Charm or Swain on the outside? A truly sensational finish to the 1998 Dubai World Cup.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Indeed, it was Silver Charm winning it for America back in 1998. Gary Stevens was aboard for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. It was the first win in the Dubai World Cup for Bob. Of course, he came back a few years later with Captain Steve to win it in 2001. And he's back again this year with a pretty good one in Arrowgate. Of course, he has opportunity, too, in the $10 million Dubai World Cup. But all eyes will be on Arrowgate, the world's number one ranked racehorse. And who is standing by in the desert but our good friend Bob Kiekhafer, the UPI racing writer, and he's on top of all things Dubai. Bob, welcome, my friend.
Why, thank you. It's good to be back with Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, happy to have you back on board. How's everything in Dubai?
Everything in Dubai is great. It's been raining here a bit this week, but I think the forecast for tomorrow, for Saturday's races, is going to be just great.
Does that affect the racing surface there, Bob, with all that rain during the
week? Well, it's interesting. You know, there's a turf track, and it's a very, very good turf track, and I think it can take a lot of water, so I don't think it'll make any difference. And the dirt track, you know, it doesn't rain here that much, so I don't think there's a whole lot of, not to pun, but not a whole lot of track record about how it's going to affect the dirt surface. But it should be dry by race time, so I think it'll be fine.
I read this morning, and I don't know if it was true or not, that it was man-made rain. Did you hear that?
I have heard that. I have heard that they seeded the clouds. I don't know if it's true or not. I wouldn't be surprised. That's the kind of thing that they would do here in Dubai.
Yeah, you can go snow skiing in the desert.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, when you have a chance to get rain, I guess you take it. And there were a bunch of clouds that had moved in from Saudi Arabia. And the story was, and again, I can't vouch for the veracity of it, but the story was that they sent up the planes and dropped the silver iodide or whatever it is, and it poured. There are puddles and little lakes on the streets and so on, because there's not, you know, it's not much drainage here. When it does rain, it takes a while for it to go away on the streets anyway.
Wow, pretty wild stuff. Bob Kiekhafer joining us from Dubai. Bob, talk to us about that $10 million Dubai World Cup. Obviously, all eyes are going to be on Arrowgate, but what are some of the other storylines that we can look forward to seeing?
Oh, it's really interesting. Obviously, all eyes are on Arrowgate. I mean, I was thinking this morning, if he wins this race, and there's no reason to believe that he won't, he's conquered the world. He will have won the Breeders' Cup Classic at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. He'll have won the Pegasus World Cup down at Gulfstream, and he'll have won the Dubai World Cup. So that's three worlds in a row for him, and there won't be too many more worlds left to conquer. But it's interesting. you know Baffert. Baffert has always got his tongue in his cheek or something. But he's been talking about opportunity this week as if he's laying the groundwork for him to run a really, really big race. He says things like, you know, he's always there. He's always going to get a check. And one of these days we hope he's going to get the whole enchilada. And, you look at him and think, do you really, really hope he's going to get the whole enchilada in this race against Arrowgate? So, you know, who knows?
Well, it doesn't really matter to him, does it? I mean, which one wins, as long as he wins.
Well, Jude, normally I would say that's true, but you know, he has this new deal with Prince Khalid, and you know, the Jedmont people are here, and they really are looking at this horse as being even better than Frankel. So I think it would be a bad thing for him to get beat by another horse that he trains.
Yeah,
you know, it's horse racing. Anything can happen.
I also heard him say earlier in the week, talking about Bob Baffert, heard him say earlier in the week that he didn't want to see Arrowgate get beat because he feels like he has somewhat of an obligation to the horse because he has been so good.
Yeah, well, that's how he felt when he lost to Travers last year, or 2 years ago now, with American Pharoah. He felt like he had let the horse down. So, you know. And speaking of that, we've got the horse that beat him is running in this race, Keen Ice. Jerry Crawford from Donegal Racing said the other day, he said, The nice thing about this is that thanks to the generosity of the Dubai Racing Club, you don't have to win here to have a successful trip because you can get $2 million for finishing second, $1 million for finishing third in this race.
Yeah, that's very important. Well, I know you mentioned Jedmont, and I know when Bobby Frankel was training for them, the Prince never liked to run an entry. He never liked to run one horse against one another. So I can imagine he probably wouldn't be too fond of getting beat by opportunity, but I don't think he'd be too fond of anybody beating him at this point.
No, what about? I think you know. You know, this is really interesting because this race. I mean, you know, you were in Florida, and after the Pegasus World Cup, they didn't sound like they were planning on coming to Dubai. At least to me, they didn't. And so this looks like it was kind of a, well, maybe we should do this. And that's the kind of thing you guys know in racing that can come a cropper for you. You know, doing something that you hadn't planned on doing doesn't always work out right.
No, it doesn't. And sticking with the American runners in the Dubai World Cup, I said earlier when we opened the show, Bob, that Gunrunner, to me, seems to be the horse that's flying under the radar because I haven't seen much in print. I haven't seen a lot coming out of Dubai regarding Gunrunner. How about for you? Is that accurate, or is he a horse that we should be keeping an eye on?
There are people over here keeping an eye on him, and I think a lot of the local wise guys, although I'm not sure exactly what you call the local wise guys over here, but there is a buzz about Gunrunner. It's hard to judge, you know, because he got trapped by the quarantine and that race at Oaklawn. You know, how good was that? And but I think, you know, I mean, let's face it, this is an American race. It was made for American horses, and when they switched the old Tapeda track back out for the dirt track, that made it once again a real American race. And you can look at the American horses in here and see them finishing 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, without too much trouble if they all run their best races. But if they don't, there's plenty of other horses in this race, too. I mean, there's a local horse here that I kind of like a lot. His name is Move Up, and he's owned by Godolphin. And, you know, Sheikh Mohammed loves to fold his money over and put it back in his other pocket. Saeed Bin Sarur trains him, and he does need to move up a notch or two to be competitive with Arrogate, but he's one that is flying under the radar. And then there's another one named Furia Cruzada, who's a Chilean-bred mare who's been running well over here and drew well, and I think has a shot. And then, of course, you've got Lanny, who last year won the UAE Derby, or I should say Derby, and then went on to run in all three of the Triple Crown races back in the U.S. and finished third in the Belmont. So there's a lot going on in this race.
Well, then you have our old friend Mubtahij, who is back for another crack here in the Dubai World Cup.
Yes, and he hasn't been running as well, perhaps, as you might hope, but he did finish second last year and beat behind California Chrome. And Christophe Soumillon knows what he's doing around here, so, you know, who knows. I did want to point out, though, you know, speaking about American horses and American racing, the UAE Derby is basically a win-and-you're-in race for the Kentucky Derby with 100 points to the winner. And there are some really interesting horses in this race. But the one I wanted to point out was there are two Japanese horses in here. One of them is a horse that's already qualified for the Kentucky Derby by virtue of the Japanese win and you're in program. I have to look at these names up. I can never remember them. That is Epicharis. He won the Hyacinth Stakes at Tokyo last month. But the horse that finished second in the Hyacinth, named Adirato, also is in this race in the UAE Derby. Now, that means that if Adirato should happen to win the UAE Derby, there would be two Japanese horses already pre-qualified for the Kentucky Derby for Saturday in May.
Wow.
I think that's quite remarkable.
Wow, and I think Churchill would welcome that. I mean, it seems as if that was the whole idea.
With open arms.
Right? Yeah, I think that was the whole idea when they decided to include the Japanese races as part of that win-and-you're-in program, so to speak, with the Kentucky Derby.
The handle will go up like $10 million.
I think they might have noticed that the Japanese do tend to bet heavily on their horses when they go overseas.
that would be interesting. Bob Kiekhefer, UPI racing writer, with us from Dubai here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, what other storylines jumped out to you throughout the week, depending on, it could be any race that we're talking about on the Dubai World Cup program?
Well, let me go back to the World Cup for just a second. The second Japanese horse that I just mentioned, Adirato, you go back two generations in his pedigree on the bottom, and you come to a horse named Wild Rush. So I went up to Bob Baffert on the backstretch the other day, and I said, Bob, here's a question for you. If I said to you Wild Rush, what would that bring to mind? And he says, 1998 Kentucky Cup Classic, dead heated with silver charm. Right off the top of his head.
That's right. Well,
when
you go to Turfway and you walk in, you see that jockey statue that's painted half and half, right? With Wild Rush's colors, the Stronach colors, and then Mr. Lewis's colors. And I've never seen that before, but it's a direct split. It's like when they had to split the canoe that year at Saratoga.
That's right, exactly. And then Bob says, you know, I thought we lost that race. But, you know, one of the things that you do notice over here is how many of these horses have American pedigrees. And, you know, you see this more and more all over the world now. Even you go places like Hong Kong and even Australia, certainly in Japan, their whole bloodstock industry has been built on American horses. And to see the American influence and breeding all over the world, you know, a lot of our best horses are going to help other countries' bloodstock programs. You know, South Korea's got Hanson, who won the Kentucky Cup Juvenile and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile back in 2001. I lose track, 10 maybe. So that's one thing that I notice. I mean, this is truly a World Cup in the sense that you've got horses from Korea, you've got horses from South Africa, you've got horses from all over Europe and Asia. But the American influence on this sport is just all pervasive. It's just amazing.
Yeah, Bob, before we let you go, you mentioned horses from Korea, and I did read an article about the Korean champion that's going to be on the Dubai World Cup program.
Triple Nine. The thought in bringing Triple Nine here is for the Koreans to get kind of a handle on how their breeding industry is shaping up. They've only been doing this for less than 20 years, I think, since they started to get into this big time. And Triple Nine has been doing okay over here, but I think that for him to actually hit the board in the Godolphin Mile, the first race on the program on Saturday, for him to hit the board would be, you know, quite a surprise.
Well, Bob Kiekhafer with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, as always, my friend, appreciate the time. You're always very, very good. You're on top of things internationally, and we do appreciate it. And enjoy Dubai World Cup Day, and we'll look forward to catching up soon. Safe travels home.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it, and you guys take care.
All right, Bob Kiekhafer, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. But he is so good, isn't he? I mean, look, there's no way I was going to stump him with any question about any horse, right? He was going to know something about every horse that's over there.
Well, he's one of those guys that really follows international racing. He goes to almost every international race there is. You know, he thinks nothing of going to Hong Kong, flying home, going back to Singapore,
yeah,
going to South Africa, wherever. He really is a fan of international racing. He's always trying to get us more involved. He's been a little bit influential in us doing some more international things, and he'd like us to do more. He'd like us to go to Hong Kong and other places. But he's a great ambassador for the sport. And full disclosure, he's also my father-in-law. So,
so you have to talk nice about him.
But, but really, he really is an international guy, and you can't.
At least while the mics are on, anyway.
Too many international.
The plot thickens for June today.
Also,
I understand.
He also loves summer. So,
well, if I were him, I would surely put Dubai as one of my spots every year. From what I've seen, they do it. If they're making rain from the clock, they take good care of the connections, and I'm sure they take great care of the journalists that go over there too. They're building their own islands out there. It's an incredible place.
My son is there.
Sheikh Mohammed had a lot of clout.
Yeah.
But now he's making it rain.
Make it rain.
He's got a lot of clout.
If anybody can make it rain, it's Sheikh Mohammed.
It's like Whitey when he walks in with the free Jimmy John's cards. Make it rain, Whitey.
Just make it
throwing
rain
them up
in
the air.
Number four's for everybody. Turkey Tom's for the house, baby. Shekels is here.
Miles went this year for TVG. He's doing camera for TVG over there. And it was the day of the computer and camera ban, so he was like in customs forever. And I think it was Mike Joyce posted a picture of Miles with all of his cameras and computers out, and these guys, you know, going over with a fine tooth comb, and And Miles sent me a note. He goes, well, I made it through, and I'm fine. Don't worry about me. But he's having a great time there, too. And Simon, if you've been following Simon Bray on Twitter and Zoe Cadman, they're all really enjoying it. It's been a tremendous party, and a lot of Americans there because of the high participation this year from American horses. So it's been a lot of fun for everybody.
Yeah, great stuff. And our coverage of the Dubai World Cup comes up later today, 11 a.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And that is always a popular international broadcast. We'll take you all the way through that $10 million Dubai World Cup. And again, 11 a.m. Eastern is when it all kicks off. We'll wrap it up right around 1 o'clock Eastern time later today. So make sure you join us for that coverage. And then stay with us later this afternoon for our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series and coverage of the Skipaway and the Any Limit Stakes. That coverage begins 5:30 Eastern time. You can listen on Sirius XM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net, and all of that coverage presented by the FTBOA. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And then we're back to head, well, we'll head down to Gulfstream to visit with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing. We'll do that next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On an absolutely picture-perfect day for Thoroughbred Racing at Saratoga, the Dowager Empress of American Racing, seven horses were to go postward for the 1941 Hopeful Stakes. This race, the fourth on the day's card, was for two-year-olds, ipso facto, the moniker. It had originally drawn 238 nominees, but that number was cut down to 133 eligibles prior to the race. The reason that a short field of seven went postward was that three of the seven raced as a single betting interest for trainer John Gaver. The Manhasset stable had Amphitheater, the Sir Galahad III colt who had won the Saratoga Special in commanding style. The Green Tree colors were sported by Shutout, the Equipoise colt who had run second in the Special and won the Grand Union Hotel Stakes, and Devil Divers, the other half of their entry. Devil Diver was a St. German's colt who'd run second to Shutout in both the Grand Union and the Sanford. Mrs. Payne Whitney owned Green Tree, and her daughter, Mrs. C.S. Payson, owned Manhasset Stable. As an aside, a horse named Buster was in the field, and he was owned by Mrs. Payne Whitney's son, John Hay Whitney. They had, in those days, come to be known as, quote-unquote, the royal family of the American turf. To most observers, the three-horse entry of Devil Diver, Shutout, and Amphitheater looked to be unbeatable. All three had been racing against better company than there was in this field and had scored impressive wins. Shortly after the start, Devil Diver glided to the lead and his stablemate Shutout was right there, prompting to pace under the venerable heady Eddie Arcaro. Those two were on the lead, on to and around the far turn, with the rest of the small field well-bunched and not far back. Around that far turn, there was considerable jockeying for position, which resulted in some bumping. The primary offender was Shutout under Arcaro. Arcaro jostled the challenging Ramillies a good bit amongst others. Devil Diver clung to the lead down the lane, even though tiring a bit in the final furlong, and won it by an open length. Shutout was second by a length, Amphitheater third. So the three-horse entry nailed down the top three spots. In fact, Buster finished fourth so that the entire amount of the stakes went to the Whitney family. The rest of the story, and the result of a very roughly run race, was that an ask no quarter and give none Eddie Arcaro, who had just resumed riding the previous week after a 30-day suspension for rough riding in Empire City, was once again suspended for his cowboy tactics, so to speak, in this running of the Hopeful, pending a hearing, of course. At that hearing, the stewards of the Jockey Club suspended him for the rest of the year. Many thought the suspension should have been for life, since the foul in the Hopeful was so blatantly flagrant. You'd think the young, aggressive, and precocious Arcaro would have learned his lesson from that, but not Eddie. Early the next year, in the Cowden Stakes, Arcaro and his mount got bumped just after the start while he was aboard Occupation. The offending rider was Vince Nodars aboard Breezing Home. Arcaro and Occupation eventually caught up to Breezing Home and Nodars in the late stages of that race. Arcaro then brought his mount up outside of Nodars and Breezing Home and literally tried to put Nodars over the inside rail. The stewards called Eddie in after the race and asked him just exactly what he was trying to do. Said Eddie, "I was trying to kill that Cuban." For that, Eddie got suspended for 1 year. The hopeful of 1941 in August and the victory of Devil Diver and Arcaro's rough ride in it, plus the aftermath in Eddie Arcaro's career, a truly memorable, if not great, moment as part of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and special guest co-host Billy White from your Lexington area Jimmy John's. And we are with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studio this morning. Next Saturday, we will head southward to Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, as we bring you our exclusive coverage of the Florida Derby, and what an afternoon that is going to be. But it's a pretty big afternoon today as well, as the championship meet rolls on with the Grade 3 Skipaway and the Any Limit Stakes. Those races, you're going to hear part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage, which comes up at 5:30 Eastern Time this afternoon. And Mike Nyman is the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, and as always, he is with us right here on the Equine Forum. Mike, welcome, my friend. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, everything's good, and looking forward to hearing about a big day today and looking ahead to next weekend. But let's start with today. I mentioned the Grade 3 Skipaway, and plus you're going to have the simulcast of the Dubai races out there this morning.
Absolutely. So, we kicked it off with Dubai at 8 o'clock and opened up very early here for our customers and had all kinds of promotions and things and getting ready, looking forward to the big Dubai Classic and see if Arrogate continues his strong run. And here this afternoon we'll have another great day, 12:35 first post on a 13-race card. And as you mentioned, it's highlighted by the Skipaway. And just when I mention Skipaway, I get chills down my spine, having an opportunity to see the great horse race many times. And even was here when he won the Gulfstream Park Handicap in, I think it was like 1998. And so to honor a horse like this in a stake race, and looks like the field came up pretty good, and it should be a nice race. It's the 12th race on the card, $100,000 purse, and it's a Grade 3. So a lot of horses in there looking for some graded marks on their record.
Yeah, I always thought it was kind of fun. He was owned by Carolyn Hines, Sonny Hines' wife, and she always had a picture of Skipaway in her wallet, but none of Sonny. I thought that was very telling.
You remember what Sonny looked like. So.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the point.
The didn't fit in a wallet.
She had two pictures. One was Skipaway, and one was the backside of Skipaway. So poor Sonny.
And was ridden by my good friend Shane Sellers, too. I remember being at Belmont Park the day that Skipaway beat Cigar. I believe it was the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and he upset Cigar that day.
Yeah, he was a very good horse. He was a fun horse to watch run.
And I actually couldn't stand him. Yeah, well. He is still my least favorite horse of all time, Skipaway, believe it or not.
Was he beating up on Holy Bull at the same time? Were they contemporaries?
He couldn't have held a candle to Holy Bull. Wouldn't even have come close.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, wouldn't even have come close.
Pretty soon we're going to hear that Holy Bull is a better horse than Arrogate.
Arrogate's lucky he didn't race in Holy Bull's era. That's all I'm going to say. Mike, by the way, speaking of Holy Bull, a Florida Derby winner, let's talk about next weekend's Florida Derby and what a big day that's going to be at Gulfstream.
Oh, yeah, Florida Derby, it's always the highlight of the meet. It's going to be a great race. From what I'm hearing right now, it's going to be a big field, maybe the largest field that's been run here in at least the last 5 or 6 years since I've been here. And so should be a very competitive race, and looks like it's going to be a wide open race as far as that goes. And really looking forward to the day. We'll have a big card here, and it's always going to be it's always our signature day. And if you haven't, as we always like to say, we have free parking and free admission that day. For those of you who need reserve seating, there's some limited seats left. I know around the walking arena there's a few seats, and Sport of Kings. So you don't want to miss out on that. And either go on GulfstreamPark.com or you can call our box office at 954-457-6201. And I know the winter hasn't ended yet, so it gives you one last chance to get to Florida before our championship meet ends. But, of course, we finish the meet the day after Florida Derby on April 2nd, and then we ratchet it right back up on April 5th with our spring-summer meet that runs right to September 30th.
It seems like so often, Mike, we spend time, and I think rightfully so, talking about a lot of the different marketing innovations that are happening at Gulfstream Park. And one of those is taking place later today when you're going to give away the 2017 Florida Derby glass that people can get with a purchase of a handicapper program or a daily racing form. That starts at 12:30. And it says in the promo that while supplies last, I don't imagine that those are going to last very long.
Well, we bought a lot of them. Plus, they're going to also be available through the bars and our food and beverage outlets. They have a special Florida Derby drink that goes with the glass, so you can get the glass one of two ways: either through purchasing the special drink at the bar, or you pick it up in the giveaway area, which is going to be on the south side of the entrance of the racetrack. So we'll be there all day. And, yes, we purchase a lot of glasses because we know that it's a really good souvenir. People save these. You know, I always get somebody that'll call me and say, hey, you know, I've collected these things for the last, I don't know, 50 years or so, and, hey, I want to make sure to get one. So it's a great collector's item, and it's so funny that over the years of all the different items that we've given away here, and then, you know, I'll pop on and look on eBay and you see them there. So, you know, a lot of things that people want and collect and save over the years, and it's great memorabilia. So, yep, another great giveaway.
What's in the Florida Derby drink? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I actually forgot. The food and beverage just worked on it the last couple of weeks, but I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, it's a Maker's Mark.
Well, how can that be bad?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a Maker's Mark drink. It's got. We're calling it the Orange Orchid, so it'll be a drink. You know, it's got Maker's Mark in it. It's got orange Curacao liqueur, fresh orange, some ginger ale in there, and served over ice with a wedge garnish. So that's what it is.
That makes all those collector glasses even better when they're filled with
Maker's
Mark.
And that's going to be available starting Wednesday, so it's not just available Florida Derby Day. It's going to be available the whole week.
How coincidental. We're coming in on Wednesday. Tell Ziggy to get those ready at the bar.
Yeah. I'll treat you to one.
Oh, beautiful. Even better. Nothing beats
it. My pleasure.
Well, we can't wait to get back down there next week. Mike, again, we're coming in on Wednesday, the Florida Derby, and our coverage coming up on Saturday. That coverage, of course, part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream series presented by the FTBOA. And that broadcast, by the way, presented by the Pan American Conference, which is going to be held Preakness Week up in Maryland, actually in Washington, D.C. So that's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of things happening. Hey, Mike, don't forget that we have our radios, too, that you'll be selling on Florida Derby Day, and all of our coverage when we're on site will be available for people to listen to in the ear radios.
Yes, absolutely, and that's become extremely popular here. And the radio costs $10, but, you know, as I mentioned, when you're off property, it has FM bands on there, so you can listen to FM stations. But while you're here, on days that HRRN and HRRN Spanish are online, are broadcasting, you'll be able to listen to those broadcasts in their entirety, and on other days, you'll be able to listen to all the track calls and the local handicappers here at Gulfstream. So it gives you a lot of good information, a better way, you know, to connect here while you're on the track, and this way you've got everything buzzing right inside your ear.
Mike, I've had people ask me, where can they purchase them when they come to Gulfstream Park?
You purchase them in Silks on the first floor, which is our simulcasting room right next to the Breezeway Bar by the finish line. Very easy to find. So you just go in there to the customer service desk where they're selling programs and tickets for the grandstand, and you can purchase the radio right there.
There you go. $10, and you can listen to all of the coverage both in English and in Spanish. You have two channels on the radios, and then, as Mike said, take them home, and they become an FM radio. They were ridiculously popular at Breeders' Cup, and now Gulfstream has taken up the baton and running with it with those ear radios. Make sure you get one when you come out to Gulfstream for Florida Derby. Mike, as always, appreciate the time, my friend, and can't wait to see you next week.
Great. Looking forward to seeing you guys. Stop on by as soon as you get here on Wednesday.
Will do. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, like all of our guests who appear on the program, he does receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the... How many gifts do you think he has?
I don't have any.
One every week, by the way? I don't even know. Is he getting one every week? He should be.
He should be
getting something. He probably owns stock in Embrace the Race.
Maybe we should like save them all up and then get him like, you know... Well, he can't use like a jacket or something.
Well, let's keep it a little bit more local.
Ron Nicoletti requested a jacket.
Yeah,
I don't have anything. What are you talking about? What is it? Who gets a? I've never gotten one guest. I need a jacket.
I took you to Tony's.
Oh boy,
we'll get you
with my sponsorship money. What the heck?
We'll get you.
I was buying my own dinner through you.
We'll get you a jacket.
Brilliant, huh?
We'll get you a jacket.
Golly,
we'll get you a jacket. You can get rid of the UK and start sporting the HRRN because the basketball tournament will be over soon.
It's horse racing time. boys.
That's it, right. Is horse
absolutely.
Racing time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, you almost queued me up for a countdown, but I won't do it now. I'll save it for later. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back and get you set for hour number two. It kicks off with Mike Battaglia. That's at 9 o'clock Eastern. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Amid the beautiful rolling hills of the Bluegrass, the sun dawns a new day at Coolmore America. Sire Sensations Uncle Mo and Giants Causeway are blazing a trail for champions Shanghai Bobby and American Pharaoh. New in 2017, champion juvenile Air Force Blue joins Declaration of War as multiple Grade 1 winning sons of Warfront. Coolmore America, home of champions.
This afternoon, Gulfstream is your home for 3 more stakes races, including the Grade 3 Skipaway. Plus, join us in Silks to watch and wager on the Dubai World Cup program beginning at 8 a.m. And be sure to get your free 2017 Florida Derby glass with purchase of a handicapper program or daily racing form while supplies last from 12:30 to 4 o'clock. And remember, the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby is now only 7 days away on Saturday, April 1st. It's all part of the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Welcome to your playground.
Eclipse Award-winning champion Blaine retired to stud with over $4.3 million in earnings, including a historic victory over Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Now Blaine is the leading sire of his crop by graded stakes horses and ranked number one in the sales ring with yearlings bringing up to $600,000. Top runners this year include track record setter Onus, Grade 1 placed Going for Broke, stakes winners Sweet Victory and Exaggerated, and 3-time stakes victress Queen Caroline. Blame at Claiborne Farm.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has done it.
Won 3 grade ones.
One from on the go. Shackelford is still there. They're coming down to the finish. And Shackelford.
115 buyer speed figures.
But the one who's got the courage in faith is Shackelford. He's out in front. Shackelford wins the claw.
Shackelford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
The jackpot winner, Gunnavera, is in full stride for Javier Castellano as they race to the top of the stretch in the Fountain of Youth. And there goes Practical Joke to confront 3 rules on the top end. But Gunnavera much to work with the lead. It's Practical Joke, but Guinevere over the top is onto the front now. Three rules, battles on, gamely. These three well clear of the others, but it will be Guinevere and Javier Castellano moving clear. Guinevere for local trainer Antonio Sano romps in the Fountain of Youth. Practical Joke second, Three Rules third, fourth, Talk Logistics in 1:44-1.
Pete Aiello bringing them home in the Fountain of Youth Stakes a few weeks ago at Gulfstream Park. Guinevere with that huge late run to get the victory. We'll see him in action next weekend in the Florida Derby. That's a race you're going to hear exclusively with us here on the network beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time next Saturday. Circle that one in your calendar. And that coverage presented by the Pan American Conference. And if you haven't already done so, trust me, you'll want to make your plans to be there now. It's going to take place in Washington, D.C., May 17th through the 20th. That's Preakness Week, which is perfect timing. You can register right now prior to April 15th to take advantage of a special registration rate. The rate goes up after April 15th, so make sure you do it now. You can also take advantage of a special registration rate for a guest if you would like to bring a guest with you, too. You can get more information by going to panamdc2017.com. That's panamdc2017.com. And enjoy unique social events highlighted by the Preakness Celebration Dinner and the Gala Dinner featuring the Longines Ladies Awards, which are presented to women who have made a significant contribution to the equestrian industry or have performed at the highest level of the sport and attendance to the 146 Preakness as all part of your conference registration. Check it out, the Pan American Conference, Washington, D.C., April 17th through April, May 17th through May 20th. April. My mind's on April.
All of our minds are. That's Keeneland. Yes.
Yeah. Keeneland will be here before we know it. We're only a couple weeks away from the opening of Keeneland.
Friday the 7th?
Yeah. Looking forward to.
Not that I know.
Bluegrass weekend, right? The
big
grade
weekend.
2 bluegrass this year.
A lot of stakes races this year. I can't remember the total number, but big, nice increase,
yeah,
as always.
Starting out fast, too.
Yeah, I think we're going to see McCracken in the bluegrass, right?
Yes.
That's where he's pointing?
Yes.
What about Classic Empire? Is that where he's going?
Possibly.
Wouldn't that be a great showdown? Of course, Classic Empire has to prove that he's back to where he was.
He's mentally stable.
Well, that too. Well, don't we all? It's not just Classic Empire.
Every day.
White Shoes.
I'm here. Yes, sir.
Billy White from
Present.
Jimmy John's fame, Jimmy John's of Lexington. We are in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. First of all, thank you for that support this year. This is a new phase of the sponsorship with Jimmy John's and HRN and that partnership that we have experienced for, 10 years, I guess, and I?
I think you're right. Yeah. Oh, more than that.
Early, 10 years
early
and no gift.
Yeah, no gift.
That was back in the ham days.
Yeah.
Just ask Dan Pride.
It's been over that. It's been the early 2003 or 4, almost 13 or 14 years now.
Wow.
And also, we need to talk about the sponsorship deal because I was under the impression at Tony's after a couple glasses of wine that it was going to be the Billy White Shoes HRRN studio.
Okay.
So this is we really got to get our agents together because something is not. And maybe a coat of paint. If you got a gallon of paint,
wrong with it? You don't like the yellow on the walls in here in the studio?
Considering it was white 5 years ago, I think it looks really good. And we're happy to be here, and we're happy to move forward on our sponsorship. This is you think about everything from UK basketball to the health care people here in town, and you can't talk about that without talking about the horse racing industry. What you guys have done, we want to be part of that. We will always be part of that. We got the fever years ago. I got the fever. You made it worse when you called me years ago in Florida. And it's just important. It helps all the stores, not only our 9 stores here locally, but all the stores in the co-op, which are all around this area that support and live and are in the middle of horse country. And it's a perfect match. It's a perfect match.
It's cool for you guys, too, because you do a lot at the horse sales now and farms and stuff that take care of their employees have special days and celebrations for big wins and that kind of stuff. So
absolutely
great. You're a big part of thoroughbred racing now.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, G. We want to be more. We want to talk about fundraising and getting together on those kind of things. It's important for us. We want to go to that next level. We're very fortunate. Our business has been through the roof the last year and getting ready to open up another few stores here in town, building out downtown and a new one. and got a couple other locations. So we're real happy and expanding as fast as we possibly can.
How many stores is that going to be now?
We'll be up to 12 as fast as we can and looking to expand from there. There's other pockets. There's pockets that we need to get to in. I called people just this week. I tried to call all our catering people that have big orders and see how it went. How's it going? How can we do better? And of course, there's always, you know what? You couldn't deliver to us. And we have a delivery area based on timing with a stopwatch with our business coaches. And it's got to be there fast and with traffic. And I do a lot of apologizing and explaining that we're expanding a little bit.
And we'll talk more about Jimmy John's later on in the program. We'll tell you where you can get your freaky fast delivery. But first, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds for station identification. We're back with hour number two right after this. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel, forever unbridled, two-lace back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird, a cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front, Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate rops in the Pegasus!
Drake hung on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on this 25th day of March 2017. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. Happy to have you back with us. To all of you tuning in on SiriusXM Satellite Radio on our new channels, these will be our new channels going forward, Sirius 219, XM Channel 206, and to everyone tuning in worldwide with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net. We welcome you back to the program here this morning. And if you missed any portion of the first half of the show, well, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can hear that interview with Bob Kiekhafer from Dubai and Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. And now looking forward to a very busy second half of the program as, JT, we edge closer to the first Saturday in May.
Edging always closer.
You were just waiting for me to do the countdown there, weren't you?
Oh, yes. It was like the edge of desire.
Our good friend Mike Battaglia probably has this one in his head, too. Well, maybe not. I don't know. 42 days, 7 hours, 31 minutes, and 42 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. And Mike Battaglia, kind enough to join us now here on the Equine Forum. Mike, welcome, my friend.
Baron, Pontus, nice to be with you.
Great to be with you. I miss that voice.
I'm kind of in semi-retirement, so I'm kind of enjoying it.
Good well, for you.
Mike, before we get into talking about the spiral and some of the things happening today along the road to the Kentucky Derby, first of all, it's the first chance we've had to have you on the program since the news coming out that you will be elected into the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that accomplishment. Well done. Great honor.
Thank you. It is a great honor, and I'm humbled by it. Thanks a lot.
It wasn't for golf, was it?
That's what I thought, too. You know, I thought, oh, yeah, that somebody's told me what kind of golfer I am, but no, it wasn't.
Man, you think about where this career has taken you, Mike, and how good this sport has been to you. You called your first race in, what, 72 at Miles Park? Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. And then, 6 years later, I was calling the Derby. So that's really crazy.
Meteoric rise to stardom.
Meteoric. Yeah.
But your family's been in the game for over 100 years, isn't that true?
My dad said no, but my dad started in the game. He was he just wanted to get in. He just wanted to do it. He started as a handicapper. He actually went to a local newspaper, the Kentucky Post, when he was, oh, like 20-something years old, and told them that he could do better picks than the guy that they had in there. And he started working for the Kentucky Post and wound up being the general manager of Turfway and Latonia back then, River Downs. And he's the one that got me into it. So, you know, I owe everything to my father, everything.
Mike, this might not be a fair question, but if you were going to pick a couple of the moments that you're always going to remember when you think back on everything that you've had the chance to be part of in your career, what are those moments going to be?
Oh, wow. I mean, there have been so many of them. I've been so blessed. The first derby that I called was affirmed in Aladar. And so that kind of sticks out in your mind. You know?
Maybe you should have quit after that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got to call Bill Shoemaker's last win with Ferdinand in the Kentucky Derby. I did that on ABC, and that was big, big moment for me. The respect that I had for Bill Shoemaker and to get to call that Derby, that was great. There's just been so many of them, the Bluegrass and the Derbies, the Spirals. It'd be tough to pick out one, you know, like I could pick out several. There was a couple of them right there. And the last Derby that I called was Grindstone and Cavaneer, the closest Derby in history. It was like all the way down to the wire, noses apart. It was just that was such an exciting Kentucky Derby.
How about some of the people, Mike? I know maybe outside of horse racing, I know you're good friends with Chris Collinsworth. How about some of the other people you've had a chance to meet and touch in your career?
Well, I, you know, you get to meet the people that enjoy horse racing, the gamblers, the bettors, the guys that are out there all the time. Those are my kind of people. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if they're celebrities or just run-of-the-mill people. That, those are the kind of people in my mind that stick out. But there was one guy. You remember Jack Klugman?
Yeah.
He was in the Odd Couple. He had a horse in the Kentucky Derby one year called Jacqueline Klugman. And he was, you know, he was an absolute degenerate horse player. And he loved it. And so one day, it was Derby week. He comes up to my booth. We became kind of friends, and he came up to my booth to watch a race. And he had made a bet in the race. And normally, if, you know, there's a guy in my booth and I'm calling a race, I'll tell him. I say, hey, listen, you know, kind of keep it quiet. You know, you don't want to rude or anything. But this guy was on TV, movies. I thought he would know that, right? So I didn't bother telling him. So the race goes. All of a sudden, he starts rooting. And he's right standing behind me. He starts rooting. Come on, Lafitte. He bet on Pink Eye. Come on, Lafitte. Come on. And he starts hitting me in the back with his program. Bang, bang. He must have hit me three times. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs, come on, Lafitte. Come on, Lafitte. I couldn't believe it. And honest to God, this is the truth. I said, Jack, what in the heck were you doing? Oh, I bet Pink Eye. Pink Eye wasn't even in the race. He looked at the wrong race. He looked at the wrong race. Pink Eye wasn't even in that race.
I'm not sure, but I think, didn't Riley Cofer train Jacqueline Klugman?
I think so.
And I actually saw him beat up Riley Cofer with his program one day. And if you knew,
really?
Yeah, if you knew Riley, he was like the patches on the elbow sport jacket kind of guy, very quiet man, just a wonderful guy. but I mean, he pulverized him with that program.
That's what he did. When I'm calling the race, I'll never forget it. That just banging on the back, he hit me in the back of the head, and he was just going nuts.
That's great.
Great story.
He was a character. That guy was a character. And I, you know, I've just been lucky enough to meet so many great people. Tom Hammond has been so instrumental to my career. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been on NBC. He's the one that started me in TV, in local TV. And there have been so many of them. I got my first radio job from Jim Host. And started working at Keeneland, and I was doing the race of the day from Keeneland with Tom Hammond and Kaywood Ledford. I mean, two legends, you know, and here I am 20-something years old working with them. It was I've just been very, very blessed.
Mike Battaglia joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, he is here in part to talk about the Spiral, but some great stories here from Mike on the network here this morning. Mike, how about that Spiral Stakes this year? You have a pretty good field. Number 8, Kitten's Cat, figures to be the favorite, 4-1 on the morning line. But in a 12-horse field, that's very much a lukewarm favorite.
Yeah, and, you know, he might go lower because he does have the good numbers and everything. But I just thought it was a really, really tough field. The more I looked, I like a horse Parlor in there. This lightly race, he's only had 3 races. He should be undefeated. He's won 2 out of 3. I went back and watched his race at Kentucky Downs. He was links the best in that race. And if you watch his last race, he won in hand. This horse has really impressed me last time out. So he's one of those horses that I think my dad had in mind when he started the Spiral back in 72. One of those lightly raced horses that's going to come into the Spiral, get better, move up, spiral up toward the Bluegrass and the Kentucky Derby, and this is the kind of horse that he had in mind. And I really think this horse could have a big future, Parlor. Eddie Keneally trains him. Jesus Castanon is riding old veteran Jesus, so he's done his share of riding at Turfway Park, Latonia.
Yeah, he's by Lonro, who's a sensational sire, but he's never been on the Pauly before, and I guess that's the big question mark with him, huh?
It's a big question mark with a lot of them. You know, the Kitten's Cat's never been on there. You just don't know about the Pauly. That King in His Court, Cassie's horse. I know that's a horse that's the other horse that I kind of like in there because he ran so well in the synthetic at Woodbine, and he won 1.8 miles too. And that's a big plus.
Yeah, you made him 5-1. I was encouraged by that.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really tough to beat. And Mark likes him. I know they took the other. They were going to run both of them, 2 horses. They took the 1 horse out and put him into the Rushaway. He'll probably be the favorite in the Rushaway that Sailing Home. So because we actually thought that Sailing Home was going to run in the Spiral because he had Le Peru named and everything, and now he's running in the Rushaway. And I know they like this King and His Court horse.
Mike, is there a certain running style that tends to play maybe somewhat better on the Pauly track than other running styles?
Mike, it depends on the day out there. It depends on the day. I've seen it. It's not one of those biases that you can, watch one night and think you're going to have it the next night. It'll change. It's supposed to be a bias-free surface. I don't think there's really any such thing as a bias-free surface. But what happens is, it changes back and forth. You can have one night where you've got, 5-6 speed horses winning, and the next night you can't win on the front end. So it really is. The humidity, the amount of moisture, the rain, it all affects that Pauly track differently.
When you look at the top 5 horses in the Derby point standings, Mike, you see Gunavera, Taprit, J-Boy's Echo, Malagasy, and Gervin. Is there a horse or two that has jumped out to you this year and you think maybe a little bit better than the rest?
Well, I like One-Liner. I've liked him for a while. I loved his last race, and Taprit, too, both the Pletcher horses. You know, Classic Empire, I've got so much respect for Mark Cassie and Norm, but I just can't see them having this horse ready for the Derby. And McCracken had that kind of setback. We'll have to see how he comes in the Bluegrass. But I really like One-Liner's last race and Taprit. Taprit, he impressed me when he was second to McCracken in that Sam Davis because he was closing. He was really running well at the end. And if you look on the gallop out, he was in front. And then comes back and wins the Tampa Bay Derby, and I know there wasn't much in there, but I like the way he did it. He looks like a 1.25 mile horse to me.
Hey, Mike, this is Billy White. How are you?
Hi, Billy.
Hey, congratulations on your career. I'm no Jack Klugman, but I will tell you that you've touched a lot of our lives. And, gosh, I think the first horse I ever bought back in the 90s was a horse called Diamond Collector, and I believe that you were calling races at fairgrounds. Did you ever call
it
fairgrounds?
No, I never called it fairgrounds.
Well,
I'm strictly a Kentucky boy.
Yeah, I think you got sudden appearance, a horse named Sudden Appearance to the wire at Keeneland many, many years ago. That's one of the only races that we ever won at Keeneland. And I still I still have the 8-track tape of the call of the replay of that race. So you've touched a lot of people. And I think I beat the heck out of somebody with my program that day, too, while you were calling. One question I did have is, I don't play a lot of poly tracks anymore, but I still follow it closely. Is just based on our recent conversation just this morning, a couple minutes ago, I always thought that the turf form equated pretty well over to the synthetic. Is that still holding true down there at Turfway? Because Kitten's Cats, you know, 3 for 3 or three, had three races on, or a bunch of all his races on the turf. So I would assume that he would take pretty well to the poly. Is that still happening?
It does most of the time, but I don't know, the horse, It's Your Nickel, can't even peak shift in. He was coming off dirt races, and boom, he took to it and won my dad's race. So it's really tough. Until they run on it, you don't know. Yep. Until they run on that surface, you don't know if they're going to like it or not. And some of them just absolutely won't. And that's what, and Baffert, he won't try it anymore. He won't come in. He said he's not running them on the poly track anymore.
Interesting.
But, it's a safe surface. We've had good luck with that. And it's a good surface for Turfway Park because we run in the winter. And, I mean, we lost a lot of dates when we had the dirt track there because it would freeze and thaw. And this poly track, it's more weather resistant. So it's a good winter surface. I think Keeneland did the right thing, though, getting rid of it and going back to dirt. But for Turfway and for some other tracks, I think it's the right surface, but it makes it tougher to handicap. There's no doubt.
Mike, where do things stand at Turfway Park?
Well, our purses are not competitive, not at all. And at the end of this meet, Jack Casino is going to install some of those instant betting machines, and hopefully that will, at least get us back to where we can be competitive with some of the other smaller tracks, because right now our purses just don't match up. They just, we've got some smaller fields, and Tyler Picklesheimer, he has trouble getting people to run for those kind of purses. Now our big races, they've done well. I think we got a great race for the Spiral, the Bourbonette is a really good race. Jerry Hollendorfer shipping one across the country. Anytime Jerry Hollendorfer ships one across the country, I'm looking at that Dark Wings over Dubai. Have you guys looked at that horse?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't. Jude probably has.
Yeah. Both of his races at Golden Gate were just unbelievable. He's got to stretch out to a mile, or she does. But with Hollendorfer shipping in, and I think that might be a play in the Rushway or the Bourbonette. I think that she really impressed me. You go back and watch those two races that she ran.
Yeah, we saw him duck Unique Bella the other day and ship Philly to Oaklawn, and she won easily. And looks like the same kind of deal. I don't think he wants to have any part of that other filly. So this is a good spot, and she's run on the Tapita twice at Golden Gate, so she ought to transfer that form, you would think.
She really should. It's really a good race, too. You got Delphinia. They paid $500,000, I think, for that one. And she looked really good, winning the Cincinnati Trophy. China Grove's in there, stakes horse. So that's a good race, and the Rushway is a good race also. So the horse in the Rushway, this Gorgeous Kitten, if you look at that one, the horse lost all chance in the Battaglia. Broke from the 12 hole, got kind of knocked sideways, was really running well at the end, only got beat a couple of lengths for second, and again was a horse that was galloping out real well. And Mike Maker was going to run on the Spiral. He went in the Rushaway. I think that one can win the Rushaway. Ought to be a decent price, too.
Mike Battaglia here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, we know it's a very busy day for you. Go enjoy Spiral Day, and thanks so much for taking the time to be here, my friend.
Thank you, guys. It'll be my first Spiral that I go to as a fan. Since I'm not working, I get to go to the tent, actually eat lunch and go to the tent and have a good time. So
well,
looking
great.
Forward to it.
Enjoy every minute of it.
Sounds like someone's going to get beat up with your program. I think it's well deserved.
Thanks,
Mike. All right, Mike Battaglia, like all of our guests, is going to receive that gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at embracetherace.com.
Evidently, my father-in-law was listening in from Dubai when we were bragging on what a great international guy he was. And he goes, and I get a gift?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, he may have spoke too soon. I haven't seen any of those.
Maybe we'll get him something to defray the cost of the phone call from Dubai.
You get to be the guest co-host in studio with the Baron and the Pontiff, Whitey.
Wow. That's amazing.
Who could ask for anything more?
Don't let me start.
All right, we're going to get to a break in a minute, but before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Hope floats for Hopportunity in the Dubai World Cup. The very nature of Hopportunity's name is rooted in the hopeful. And every time his Hall of Fame trainer engages in a discussion concerning the son of any given Saturday, one can almost see the weight of the world lift off Bob Baffert's shoulders. For four seasons, Hopportunity has been the comfort zone of Baffert Shedrow. Before American Pharoah became a Triple Crown winning hero, and before Judmont Farms champion Arrowgate showed up to further complicate the question of who the best protege is to ever come out of the Baffert barn, the bay horse was perfecting his long-standing impersonation of an ATM machine. Well done. Very well written by Alicia Wins Hughes. Hope floats for Hopportunity in the Dubai World Cup. That's your headline and your Blood Horse News update for this morning. We'll see if he can pull it off later on this afternoon. And our coverage of that race kicking off 11 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you're tuned in, horseracingradio.net. Hey, don't forget that you don't want to miss any coverage of the Derby preps and Triple Crown races like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. And for weekly coverage, including the feature stories on the horses, the people in our sport, you can count on the industry's only weekly publication. That's Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet. Download the tablet edition today from the App Store or Google Play, or sign up at subscribe.bloodhorse.com. Serving the industry for over 100 years, Blood Horse. All right, we're going to get to a short break. Stay with us, though. When we come back, you're going to hear a story that, in my opinion, really sums up what this sport is all about at the very core. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeders Sales is the two-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
Flat out fast.
Flat out by three, coming down to the wire, and Flat out is gonna do it.
Flat out tough.
And here comes Flat out, who's full out and on by to take the lead as they come to the wire.
Flat out sound.
Into the final 16th of a mile, and Flat out is going to prevail.
A three-time grade one winner of more than $3.6 million. Flat out, North America's leading earner at stud from the AP Indy Sire line. Standing at Spindthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Nearly half a century, the Northern Dancer sire line has dominated thoroughbred breeding. Galileo has earned his place among the breed-shaping sires from that lineage.
They're into the stretch. Magician is trying to come late.
Now, his best son in North America,
on the far outside, Magician,
will carry on the legacy.
And Magician runs down the fugue.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Rapid Dragon in front from Pakistan Star. The puzzle now complete. Rapid Dragon takes the derby from Pakistan Star.
Rapid Dragon became the first horse to sweep the elusive four-year-old classic series with that victory in the Hong Kong Derby on March 19th. And all signs are pointing toward his next start coming in the Grade 1 Classic Mile on May 7th. And that historic accomplishment makes Rapid Dragon your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Boss, the fastest son of the Great Street Cry. In addition to Rapper Dragon, Street Boss is the sire of 2016 Kentucky Oaks heroine Catherine Sophia, plus Grade 1 winners Capo Bastone, Danza, and Decked Out in America, and the quarterback in Australia. To learn more about Street Boss and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Three quarters went in 117 flat with the rail as fiscal discipline. Top Tierra in full stretch, coaching his polar vortex. Coco Bouquet between horses. Wildwood Scat toward the inside is running on. Late game Brilliant Kitten. They come inside the final half furlong. It's Polar Vortex and CJ McMahon. Polar Vortex, big price here. Polar Vortex pops at 50-1. Chocolate Bouquet was second for a Brilliant Kitten. Then Wildwood Scat, Fiscal Discipline, St. Patty's Bray. Too Bad Chew, Top Tierra dropped away, and Flying KC. Here's Polar Vortex, 50-1.
Welcome back to the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, on our brand new Sirius XM channels, Sirius 219, XM 206. These are the same channels you will find all of our weekday programming and talk shows. You can head to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a complete listing of shows and broadcast information. Of course, all of you tuning in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country on our terrestrial affiliates, we welcome you back. And for those of you tuning in worldwide at Horse Racing Radio Network, thanks for being with us here this morning on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John Dooley had the call, Polar Vortex getting the victory on March 20th at the fairgrounds. Now, that was a maiden claiming race. It was race number four, not a stakes race by any stretch of the imagination. But as I told you earlier, that race and that result, in my opinion, speaks to what this sport is all about at the very core. And we're joined now by Aaron Reed, who is the owner of Polar Vortex. And Aaron, welcome to the show, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
It's great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Jude is here. Billy White from Lexington. Jimmy Johns is in studio with us this morning as well. And we were all talking about this story earlier in the program, and we talked about it off air, too. This is just a remarkable story. Take us back to the beginning and fill us in.
Okay, well, it all started, I saw Lion Czar's filly run at Indiana Grand, gosh, probably 6 years ago, and she just kind of caught my eye. And I talked to my partners about her, and we eventually claimed her almost a year later at a $3,200 claiming race at Fairmont Park. And we wanted to run her, but we always thought in the back of our mind we could make her a broodmare if that didn't work out. And she had some little issues here and there, and we eventually retired her later that year. And I was trying to figure out a stallion for her, and I called into your Thursday night call-in show just to kind of get some basic tips and advice and things. And Jude gave a lot of good information, and he said, hey, if you need anything, you know, shoot me an email or let me know. So I did, and he suggested a couple stallions, and we went with Johar, one of the ones he suggested. I hadn't, that he was not on my radar screen at all. And Jude said, hey, here's some things to think about, some reasons why this might be a good stallion. And so we went down and we checked him out, and we liked what we saw. So we sent our mare down there, and a year later, she gave birth to Polar Vortex. And, you know, we had some high hopes because she looked good on the farm. But, you know, it's a two-year-old season last year as an Indiana bred. She, you know, she showed a little bit, but not a whole lot. And so through that process, we just kind of kept with her and got her to a trainer, Tim Glyshaw, who took her down to Churchill and then down to the fairgrounds and has really worked with her a lot and really progressed her. And, you know, she won an open race on Monday, and we were just ecstatic.
Well, that was really cool. And I got your email, evidently, when you had the whole thread, and you kept that, and I could follow along the whole story as we conversed via email. But I said, you know, keep me posted, and I get this email from you, and you go, well, you said keep me posted. We won a big race. She looped the field and won easy, and that's great, you know. And then I looked at the chart, and she paid $102. You forgot that part.
Well, trust me, my co-owners and everybody, they remember, they like that part because they all cashed a little bit. So we'd lost some money in our first few races up till then, but we made it back on Monday.
He forgot to email you before the race too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I didn't even know any of this transpired, and it's always so great when a plan comes together. But, you know, they had a $3,200 mare, and I didn't want them to overspend, and the pedigrees were just, they just went together so nicely. And Richard Mandela is a good friend of mine, and he was just so high on the horse. And I just figured, hey, this is a good situation for these guys. And they went down to Millridge and looked at the horse and said, yeah, let's do this. So.
Aaron, cool. The other part of the story that I found fascinating was that you didn't initially intend to run in that race, did you?
No, we were trying to get – we've been trying to get long on the grass down there at the fairgrounds against three-year-olds. We got into such a race when we first got down there in December, but quite frankly, she just really wasn't, you know, prepared for that kind of competition yet. She was still, you know, really kind of, Tim was really trying to stretch her out and to get her fitter and get her ready to kind of compete better. And we had tried in January and February to get into such a race, but everything was on the dirt. And then a race came up on the 16th in the book that was for three-year-old fillies only going a mile on the turf. And we weren't able to draw into the race. We were also eligible. So we said, well, there's a race on the 20th. It's against older, but it's a mile on the turf, and let's just enter it, and then hopefully she'll run well, and then she'll be in top shape when she comes up to Indiana here and to face State Bred Company in April and May. So we thought, okay, well, maybe she'll hit the board. We'll keep her, you know, she's progressing. Let's keep her progressing. And then lo and behold, she pops a big one on us. So we were really, really thrilled.
How'd she come out of the race?
Just fine. Everything seems fine, and she's going to ship up. The plan, I think, is Tim said April the 4th. So at the latest, she'll either be up here, you know, the evening of the 4th, or maybe she may overnight at Churchill and then come up on the 5th. But I got to give a lot of credit to Tim Glyshaw and his team because they've really brought her along nicely.
Do you think you'll have many people at that next race?
I think we may have a few that show up. Yeah, so unfortunately, you know, it's so early in the year in Indiana, there are no grass races in the first book. So we'll probably have to run her on the dirt, her first start, but then hopefully we can get her back on the grass either later in May or in June.
Just try to keep her on the grass, even if you have to wait a while.
You can always bring her to Keeneland.
Johar was so good on the grass, right? Yeah. Well, let's not go crazy.
Yeah. Hey, just beat open company at the fairgrounds. Let's do it. Think
well,
big.
Well, it was made in 25, so it wasn't made in special weight. But, we'll probably keep her against her own kind up here in Indiana as much as we can. Because there's some nice three-year-old Indiana bred stake races and allowance races and things that we can hopefully get her into.
Aaron, where did this journey begin for you? How did you get hooked on horse racing?
Well, most of it is probably the fault of my wife, because her dad was born and raised in Evansville, and he used to be a teller at Ellis Park in the summer times. He was a school teacher and then a school administrator, so he had a window in the summers where he could do extra work, and he worked at Ellis Park for the better part of 30 years in the summers. And then when I met my wife and met my father-in-law, he said, hey, he was always wanting to go to the track or go to the off-track betting and such. So that's where it kind of started. And then my cousin Brian, who's a co-owner of Polar Vortex, he had a really nice Indiana bred horse by the name of Hoosier Kingdom that he campaigned, and he said, hey, do you want to get in on some horses with us? And like an idiot, I said, sure, sounds like a great idea.
Well, I've heard this story before.
You've told this story before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we actually had some success with a couple other horses. You know, we basically broke even over about 4 or 5 years, and it's kept us, in the game. And then we've got this filly now, and they've got a couple other horses as well, and so we're hoping that this filly progresses nicely and can keep us in the game for a while.
Well, I got her on my stable mail, and I can't wait for the day that she ends up in one of those Indiana-bred stakes races on the turf. It'll be time to take the rubber band off the bankroll for that one.
Yeah, well, we're hoping that she just continues to progress and doesn't have any setbacks, and we can keep her happy and healthy and have a shot at one of those.
Aaron, I've always said that if you could take that feeling that you have when your horse crosses the finish line in front and you could bottle that, this would be the easiest sport in the world to market.
That is so true. Because I'll tell you, even though, it was just a maiden 25 win down there, and most people probably think, oh, that's no big deal. To us, it felt like, she won the Kentucky Oaks. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing better. Aaron Reed, our special guest here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Aaron, it's a remarkable story. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to call in to our BristNet.com call-in show a couple of years ago, and then can't thank you enough for taking the time to be with us here this morning, too. All the best moving forward with Polar Vortex and all the other horses, and go get it done.
Well, we appreciate it very much, and I honestly don't think we would be here today with her if it hadn't been for Jude and the network, and we just love everything you guys do.
Great job.
Yep.
Thank you.
Keep it rolling, Aaron. All right, Aaron Reed here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and like all of our guests, he will indeed receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race.
Now you're just being mean. I need some racing lifestyle clothing.
Wear what you love. I got UK on today.
I got Jimmy John stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I had a great conversation with Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, really good conversation. We were already talking about Saratoga, believe it or not.
Well, it's just around the corner. I don't have a countdown clock like you do, but I can tell you it'll be here before we know.
Yeah, I don't have the Saratoga countdown in front of me.
And in the words of your late father, right, once Saratoga starts, summer's over.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Right? And, it's funny because my dad owned a convenience store for a long time in Western Massachusetts, and I would help him run the store every year. And I would always start – maybe this is where I got it. This goes back a ways. I would always have a countdown clock that I would make, and I had like 30 days to Saratoga, and mm-hmm. It was red and white, just like the colors of Saratoga. And I would keep it behind the counter in the convenience store, and it was an advertisement to buy racing forms there. Right. Uh-huh. And I would take off a number every single time, right, of the calendar. So it'd be 30, then 29, 28, all the way down to the opening day of Saratoga. So I've always had this thing for countdowns, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Nothing better than
working
the days
for NASA.
Of buying the old low rub ink daily racing forms. I had a bookstore in a little small town outside of Chicago, wooden floors, candy all over the counter. Yep. They had a rack of magazines at the daily racing form. You'd walk in there, and before you know it, you'd be there for an hour talking to the guy behind the cash register about the races that day.
Yeah. I used to get my form, and I'd bring it home, and my mom had white carpeting in the living room. Don't ask me why. And I would open the form, and I'd lay down on the floor on my stomach and start handicapping. And I ended up putting like a racing form sized black mark on the white carpeting. My mother got so mad at me. I was forever banned from
the house.
She should have banned me from the house. But I supplied my father with gin, so I had a little safety valve.
Yeah, I remember there was
gin'll do it.
Yeah.
An older gentleman by the name of Lonnie Froyo. He's since passed away, but he would come into my dad's store every single day, get his racing form. He would go down to the back. We had a couple little tables in the back, and he would sit down and start making his speed figures every single day. And then he would take that 25-minute drive over the mountain into Lebanon, New York, and he would go to the OTB, and he would sit there and bet the horses. And that's how I learned to handicap, was through him. He would sit down and teach me how to do these speed figures, and that's how I got started with getting into racing.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And just back to your point of Aaron at Indiana Downs or Fairmount Park, or no matter what the level of racing, there's always stories like that. Anna Jonesboro, Illinois, my dad's old buddy, his buddies. My dad's 84 now. Back of the bakery, Jimmy Suitcase. Harvey Wallbanger, they were the local. I'm not kidding. They all had names. They were the local bookies. Yeah. They had their sheets
out
there.
It was
you couldn't. You can't make it up.
You walk in the back door
off the alley in this little town in southern Illinois, and everybody was in there, and it was a great time.
I know it's changed, but I bet you if you walk into that new Lebanon OTB today, and those folks that were there when I was there 20 years ago, if they're still alive, I bet you they're in the same spot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Every single day doing the same thing.
Your lucky chair. But I really miss opening the form.
I do too. I like the printed
page.
The
racing form was always like skullduggery, right? I mean, it was always like, it was like.
Well, only when it's under your textbook in class.
Hello. There's actually, in my yearbook, there's a picture of me sitting there reading the form. Somebody took a picture of me reading the form in the library one day, and it actually made the yearbook. But I mean, it was so great how you used to have to open it because the racing form didn't want any of that proprietary information to, you know, you couldn't just like go to the newsstand and leaf through mm-hmm. it and make your picks. You had to open it. And if you opened it, then nobody wanted to buy it. So it was really cool. I really miss that. And now you got that little pamphlet book thing. It looks like a program. It's
yuck.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. We do have one more segment to bring your way. It is that Road to the Kentucky Derby segment presented by Gainsway. We're going to do that after our next commercial break. But before we get to that point, it is time for your monthly KTA KTOB update. And this week, we shine the spotlight on Dubai because Kentucky bread means quality across the globe. And unlike most state bread programs, Kentucky bread group winners are eligible to receive breeder awards worldwide. The best horses in training from all over the world will assemble at Maydan Race Course in Dubai later on today. A total of 30 Kentucky breds will be competing in 9 races on the night, all Group 1 and Group 2 events, with combined purses of, how about this, $30 million. The main event, the $10 million Dubai World Cup, features 9 Kentucky breds out of the 14-runner field, including the current co-highest rated horse in the world, that's Arrowgate. Other prominent Kentucky breds in that prestigious mile and a quarter race include Gunrunner, Keen Ice, Neolithic, and Hopportunity. Kentucky bred does indeed mean quality. You can visit KentuckyBred.org to learn more and start supporting the KTA KTOB. We're back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the
Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coos in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But here's Animal Kingdom with a big run. Animal Kingdom has come from last, and now he's in front into the stretch. Decisive moment, fighting hard. Those two together. Tap Town takes third. Up on the outside, Twin Spired is gaining. Animal Kingdom just ahead over Decisive Moment, but it is Animal Kingdom now drawing away. He'll win the Vinery Racing Spiral by two. Decisive Moment second, then Twin Spired, Photo for fourth, Tap Town on a late run by Beach Colony.
Hall of Famer Mike Battaglia with the call. Animal Kingdom winning the Spiral Stakes back in 2011 for trainer Graham Motion and jockey Alan Garcia. Graham would go on to saddle Animal Kingdom to victory in the Kentucky Derby just a few weeks later. And his first Kentucky Derby victory for Graham Motion. And what a performance it was by Animal Kingdom. He's one of two horses to come through the spiral and then go on and take the Kentucky Derby. The other, of course, being Little E.T. back in 1992 under Pat Day for trainer Lynn Whiting. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Fun interview with Mike Battaglia just a short time ago. You can hear that entire interview on our website, horseracingradio.net. Listen at your leisure. And don't forget to join us 11 a.m. Eastern. That's right, just about 1 hour from now, we'll kick off our coverage of the Dubai World Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll take you all the way through that $10 million race and see if Arrowgate can indeed conquer the world. You'll hear it right here, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And then this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, it's coverage of the Skipaway and the Any Limit Stakes from Gulfstream Park as part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series presented by the FTBOA. That coverage comes your way on Sirius XM 93 and, of course, worldwide on our website. Time now to go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, and that's all presented by our good friends at Gainsway. And, gentlemen, when we take a look at the Derby docket here today, you have the UAE Derby in Dubai. That is a 100-point race for the winner, meaning the winner will be awarded 100 points toward a spot in the starting gate, a winning you're in, for all intents and purposes. You have the Spiral Stakes at Turfway, and you have the Sunland Derby out in New Mexico. JT, where do you want to start?
Well, UAE Derby's probably running even as we speak.
Yeah, that's right, probably, yeah.
But the Spiral Stakes, the Jack Cincinnati Casino Spiral Stakes.
Ooh, well said.
How many names has this race had? A gazillion of them. It's a grade three, $500,000. That's a lot of money for a Turfway race. And it's a good race this year. I don't know. I want to like King and his court. You and I have him in our fantasy league up at Churchill Downs. And he loves the Poly track. 7 starts in the Poly, 3 wins, 3/3. Mark Cassie trains. And if you were listening to Mike Battaglia, he kind of likes the horse. And that was some good information that Mark Cassie put his other horse in the co-feature instead of running against King and his court in this race. So I think he's got a big chance. Mike liked Parlor, and I think Parlor's an interesting horse. We talked about the fact that he's run only on the turf, and will he handle the poly? Billy White talked about the fact that usually turf horses form transfers to the poly, and it usually does. A lot of times the horses are interchangeable. Hopefully this horse does it. Lonro is one of my favorite sires. I'll never forget seeing Lonro over at Darley when he first came to stand at stud over there, and I was totally smitten with the horse.
Yeah.
Just an outstanding looking horse, very much in the same kind of mode as Medaglia d'Oro.
I love this angle on Parlor with if a horse breaks his maiden. I normally bet him back when he goes against allowance horses the first time, but this horse went into the stake race, figured it out, then comes back and wins the allowance, first level allowance race on the improve, lightly raced. I like that a lot. I love Castanon on the horse too, and he sticks with it, which I think is important. These jocks go where the money is.
Yeah, and I always like when a rider rides a horse for the second time. Now, he won first time he rode him, but they should know more about him when they run the second time. And a lot of times you'll see a rider switch and the guy will ride the horse good, but maybe doesn't win, maybe run second or third or whatever. The next time out, they're super live because the jock knows the horse a little bit. He can move sooner, or he kind of has a feel for what he's got underneath him. And I think it's a really good handicapping angle.
Well, that's a great point. Now let's go to the opposite point, which I'm really kind of liking this Shiraz, the 7, who's had 6 jocks in 8 races, right?
Yeah.
But he picks up Hernandez at a 44% win clip, and Michael Maker at 34%. Now, either Hernandez, who's never been on this horse, either he's trying to get some of Maker's good horses down the road, but these guys, I mean, he's riding, he's hot.
Yeah, well, he rides a lot for Mike Maker.
Yeah.
If you look at this meet, been they've had eight horses together, and he's won four. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, 36% combination for the year.
For the year, yeah.
I think that horse is, you know, he's got to improve on the speed figures. But, man, I'm looking for a price. I don't have enough money. You know, maybe today a 4 or 5 to 1 shot may be the favorite. But I don't have enough money to play too much chalk. I'm trying to beat the chalk most of the time.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to play. You can't make money on short price horses unless you're betting thousands and thousands of dollars. So it's just a very good race. I mean, Mike talked about how good the race was this year, and I think it is. It's a very competitive race, and there are several horses that are nominated to the Triple Crown. Some years you don't get very many horses nominated to the Triple Crown in this race, but it's a 50-point race.
Yeah.
And it's a good race to shoot for, you know, because that's pretty much a win and you're in for the Derby. So,
sure. Yeah. 50 points, you're in.
It's interesting, too, that this race has drawn 12 entries. And then we're talking about the Florida Derby later on. They got a full field, obviously, with the questions around McCracken and a couple of those others. This seems to be wide open. People are trying to get their points, trying to see what they got, and that makes for better wagering.
Yeah, phenomenal. There's a few horses that people didn't even nominate to the Triple Crown this year, and I thought it was a little curious that why they didn't. I mean, you know, first of all, it's only $600. If you've got a horse that you think might have an outside chance at the Derby, I mean, yeah, not that you need Derby fever. I'm totally against Derby fever.
We used to do that just to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we nominated to the Derby.
Well, a lot of times you don't know, you know, hopefully, I mean, with the curse of Apollo, you know, if your horse hasn't run by the time the first nominations are in, then you probably shouldn't nominate because you're not going to win anyway. But you know, there's always other, it's not just the Derby.
Right.
You got the Preakness, you got the Belmont, you know, and I don't know if I'd want to run a January starter in the Belmont because I don't know if they have enough seasoning for that.
Right.
But
right.
The Preakness certainly is a race that, although the Derby horses usually do better than all the other entrants, you know.
Did you spend much time looking at tomorrow's Sunland Park Derby?
I spent absolutely zero time looking at it.
Get your pad and paper out.
Yeah, you can only get that kind of insight out here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here he comes.
Number three, Bronze Age, your 3-1 morning line favorite for who else? Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. Martin Garcia is in the irons. We'll see how that one plays out tomorrow again out in New Mexico. 50 points to the winner of tomorrow's Sunland Derby, and that's all part of the Road to the Kentucky Derby picture that is happening this weekend. Next weekend, it really heats up. You have the Florida Derby, you have the Louisiana Derby. We're going to bring you all that coverage here on the network beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time, and that coverage presented by the Pan American Conference. And because we're live from Gulfstream Park with that coverage and with this show next Saturday, that coverage all presented by the FTBOA as part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. Hey, if you're not ready for EquestriCon 2017, well, you better get ready because it's coming in August to Saratoga. EquestriCon is the first ever customer-facing, fan-centric international racing convention and trade show. Now, the point of the convention is to bring the entire industry together under one roof and open the doors to the fans. And here's what you're going to get. You'll get unprecedented access and opportunities for engagement, meaning you can attend panels, workshops, meet and greets, entertainment, autograph signings, and you'll see appearances by racing authors and artists, as well as different vendors. You can see a full list of panels and panelists by going to the EquestriCon website. That's EquestriCon.com. And remember, HRN is proud to be the official radio partner of EquestriCon 2017, and that's going to be a dandy of an event. Can't wait to be there this summer in August. But before we get there, we have a lot of other things to get to, JT, including a lot of major Derby preps and that whole Triple Crown.
Yeah, well, I am so looking forward to next weekend. I mean, we're going to get to see a fantastic race in Florida. We got Louisiana Derby, and it's getting that time of year. I mean, it's put up or shut up time, and following those races, we've got the Bluegrass, which is going to be a fantastic race this year.
Yeah. Don't forget, we're back 11 a.m. Eastern with coverage of the Dubai World Cup that's available streaming worldwide on our website, your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, horseracingradio.net. White Shoes, about a minute and a half left before we have to wrap it up. Thank you for all your support through Jimmy John's. Thanks for being with us in studio this morning. And let's remind people that if they're looking for the perfect lunch or dinner, whatever it might be for their company, their farm, their sales consignment, Jimmy John's the way to go.
Yeah, thank you. With a minute and a half, I got just enough time to get to the ATM and off to the windows, boys. Good
well
luck.
Said.
Good luck today, and thanks for having me. We're proud to be a sponsor with you guys. Proud of everybody in the being associated with the people in the horse business, and it will continue once we get the naming rights worked out.
Billy White,
and I get my free,
gift.
Yeah. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Billy White's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race.
Oh, boy.
The apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Our thanks to Bob Kiekeffer for being with us from Dubai. That was a fun interview in the first half of the show. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. Mike Battaglia from up at Turfway. Aaron Reed, who called in to tell us just an amazing story of horse ownership. And, of course, everybody for tuning in to the Equine Forum here this morning. We're back next week. We are live from Gulfstream Park, but join us for Dubai beginning 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The whole show today was a lot of fun, and we covered a lot of ground for you, and look forward to bigger and better things up the road. For Billy White, for Jude Feld, and for our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Mike Pennell. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.